First, a group of scientists this week says our planet Earth has entered a new human-caused epoch, the Anthropocene. That comes from an international working group of geologists that are recommending that the scientific community recognize the Anthropocene as beginning in the 1950s. If the Anthropocene Working Group's recommendation is taken up, this would be the first official geologic shift of its kind since the dawn of civilization, and the first that scientists say humanity sparked on its own. As a marker of the change, the group says the area around a lake in Canada shows a unique layer of plutonium from nuclear bomb tests and fly ash from burning fossil fuels. Our next guest teaches classes on the topic of the Anthropocene era, what it means, and how we define it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this concept that a human activity is causing a new era in the history of our planet? What would you like to know about people's impact on the planet? What do you want to see us do to adapt to a changing climate here on Earth? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Elizabeth Hennessy is an associate professor of history and environmental studies at UW-Madison. She teaches a class called Global Environmental History, How Do We Live in the Anthropocene? Elizabeth, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here, Rob. Thanks for having me.
This concept, this idea of the Anthropocene, it's been around for, I think, 20 years-ish or so now. I want to start, Elizabeth, with the significance, as you see it, of this group of scientists who are, I think, really thinking in the long term here, saying, yeah, we're entering into this new era. What do you make of what we're hearing from this Anthropocene working group?
Yeah, you're correct. They have been talking about this idea for about 20 years, and I think it really took off about 15 years ago. There's been a lot of scholarship on this Anthropocene idea, a lot of debate about it too. I think the big picture that the geologists have really pushed forward is that we have entered this human-caused epoch, right? So right, we are in the Holocene right now and have been in the Holocene for the last 11,000, almost 12,000 years. And they're saying that in the 1950s, we have kind of reached a tipping point when all of the kind of, you know, the pollution, all of the kinds of things like climate change, species extinctions have pushed us into a new geological age in which we really see human impact on the world. And I think that this is, it's really significant because I think it's very much of our moment, kind of recognizing the impacts that humans have had on the world, but also in an environmental sense, thinking about, well, what do we do about this?
I think with geologists, part of the story here is that they're thinking, okay, our counterparts 10 million years from now, when they do core samples of the Earth, are they going to see a layer deposited that shows this big change? I think a lot of us are thinking in a shorter time horizon. Elizabeth, as you talk about the Anthropocene with your colleagues and students, what kind of things do you have your eye on?
It's a great question. The reason that they have found the 1950s to be this kind of starting point moment is because there are plutonium radioisotopes all around the world that have settled into, you know, the lake bed in this situation, but also on the floor of the ocean. And those have a half-life of something like 24,000 years. So 100,000 years from now, people will be able to still see those traces. And that's a really remarkable thing. And it's a really hard thing for us to get our heads around thinking about geological time spans. And so one of the issues that I think about with my students are, you know, like they're debating right now, is it going to be 1950? Is it going to be 1952? And from a geological standpoint, it's kind of a moot point because it's like saying, well, did it start on a Tuesday or a Wednesday? You know, like their geological time is so vast that a couple of years really isn't going to make a huge difference in what we see. And so when I talk with my students about the Anthropocene idea, we talk about more about the kinds of processes and the reasons why humans relate to our natural environments in the way that we do today and how those got started. What are those impacts? And trying to trace out those histories.
This concept of the Anthropocene, whatever the geologists end up saying about it, a lot of fields are working with this concept. What are some of the debates about, you know, whether we are in a new era shaped by human activity?
Yeah, well, there's been a huge amount of debate in the environmental humanities, which is my field. One of the biggest debates is about how we name this Anthropocene. And so there are a lot of different other potential names that have been tossed out there. There are folks who say, well, we should name it after the era of capitalism and call it the Capitalocene, in which case maybe it didn't start in 1950, but maybe it started 500 years ago. With the advent of capitalism and the transatlantic slave trade. And so that pushes us then to think a little bit differently in terms of what is driving this new human age and what the main things we should be looking at are. So if you think about it as starting in the 1950s, historians call that the Great Acceleration. And so we see in the 1950s, this is the era when, my grandparents and many others started having, everyone had electricity, phones, washer dryers, TVs, refrigerators. And so electricity usage went up. We all started driving cars. And so fossil fuel use has gone up dramatically. And so there's a lot that has happened in the mid 20th century besides all the nuclear test bombs that scientists are thinking about right now. But all of those processes that are being called out by geologists in the 1950s because they leave a really nice geological trace, actually have a much longer history. And so that's something that historians, and I try to get my students to really think about, well, what are those longer histories and who is involved in this Anthropocene? Because one of the other debates about the word is that, if it's the human age, then are we all in it in the same way, right? Is it all humanity that is to blame for this or at fault? Or is it different human groups, right? Different classes, people from different nationalities. And so there's a lot of debate about who's responsible for the Anthropocene.
Talking to Elizabeth Hennessy, Associate Professor of History and Environmental Studies at UW-Madison, looking at the Anthropocene, this idea that we are in a new era in the timeline of the Earth driven by human activity, human change, including climate change. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your reflections on that idea. What does that make you think about, worry about, maybe your questions on how we define this? Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Lisa is with us in Madison. Lisa, hi.
Hi, I guess it all makes sense to me. We can't have all this carbon buried under the Earth's surface for millions of years and then pumped into the atmosphere and not expect an impact. And I know people want to say that all of the climate change concerns are new, but I talked to your screener. I said I remember reading about an article from the early 1900s that expressed concerns about climate change. And when I was looking up a little while I was waiting, I came back to an article that talked about as early as 1824, a mathematician and physicist expressed concerns about or recognized that the atmosphere was warm, not just from the sun. And then in the mid-1800s, people started expressing concerns about climate change.
Lisa, thanks a lot for that call. And Elizabeth, I think if you run this idea to a lot of people about a new era driven by human activity, like Lisa, the first thing they might think of would be climate change and global warming. How does that fit into our conversation about the Anthropocene? You can join in at 800-642-1234. What does that idea mean to you? We've got this geological working group saying, yeah, we recommend that, yes, officially, we are in a new epoch starting in the 1950s. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Lisa, thanks for calling in with those thoughts. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Elizabeth Hennessy, Associate Professor of History and Environmental Studies at UW-Madison, talking about a statement by an international working group of geologists this week saying the planet Earth is entering a new geological era caused by human activity and the wider concept of this Anthropocene. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Elizabeth, we heard from Lisa in Madison earlier, who brought up climate change as a central part of this story of a changing Earth driven by human activity. How central is climate change to this idea of the Anthropocene?
Yeah, Lisa's right. It's absolutely central to the idea of the Anthropocene. And I think that one of the things that the geologists are able to do is is really kind of play up the significance of climate change and the fact that if we have tipped ourselves into a new geological epoch, those reverberations are going to be felt, you know, far, far into the future.
Lisa, thanks a lot for that call. Back to your calls now. Carl is with us in Shawano. Carl, hi.
Hello, sir. I'd like to ask your caller, what good's it going to do about climate change if the three biggest nations in the world have not signed the treaty, India, Russia, and China? Unless we all sign on, it's not going to do any good.
Carl, thanks for the call. Elizabeth, that takes us to, you know, okay, we're declaring ourselves in this new era, in part because of climate change. What kind of things can we do about it?
Yeah, well, he's right that the geologists are not politicians. And so they're calling attention to this only goes so far. And so there are a lot of critics who kind of push back and say, well, you know, we can call this era whatever we like, but the political questions are still very much on the table.
Carl, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Paul joins us now in Menominee. Paul, hi.
Hi. The biggest cause of most of these issues that we're talking about is overpopulation. Our population has tripled since the 1940s, human population. And unless we find a way to somehow encourage people to have small families, we are just going to eat away at all the life, animal life. We've already, half the animals have already gone extinct in the last 50 years. And so there's a lot needs to be done, and I don't know what kind of programs you could get people to get themselves involved in to have less children, but that's probably going to be the most effective thing you can do.
Paul, thanks for the call. Elizabeth, I know there's a lively debate over, you know, the number of people versus the resource consumption per capita. But one of Paul's main points there, he mentioned animal extinctions. And we've been, I've talked to other guests who've talked about how we're in a new era of mass extinction. Is that one of the signs of the Anthropocene that you, say, in your class talk about with your students?
Yeah, exactly. We are in the so-called sixth mass extinction event. There have been five previous ones. And the last one was when the dinosaurs went extinct 65 million years ago. And that, of course, was caused, we think, when an asteroid hit the Yucatan. But of course, we can't blame an asteroid for these more recent extinction events that are happening now. We haven't quite lost 50% yet, but people project that we will, over the course of this century, we could lose up to 75% of the current biodiversity in the world. So this is another one of the major things that the Anthropocene concept is calling attention to.
Thanks a lot for that call. Elizabeth, I mentioned your class title at the outset. I keep coming back to it. How do we live in the Anthropocene as part of it? And now this year we've seen unprecedented things like extended periods of wildfire smoke showing up here in Wisconsin, this vast heat wave spreading from border to border, basically, in the southern United States. What kind of questions do you have about how we live in the Anthropocene and how we adapt to this fundamental change?
Yeah, these are the really difficult and thorny questions that it's hard to have one answer, because if anyone did, we would be doing that, I think. And so this is something that my students and I spend a lot of time debating, because there are lots of different potential solutions on the table out there, things from geoengineering and thinking about how to, shoot mirrors literally up into the sky to try and reflect back some of the sun's energy to slow down global warming, things like seeding the ocean with iron to make it less acidic. And then, you know, we have also the other really interesting thing about the Anthropocene and this Crawford Lake designation of the kind of core area, which is up near Toronto, is that it's an Indigenous site. And so there are a lot of Indigenous scholars these days who are saying, you know, we've been living through these kind of apocalyptic times that many of us in the West are waking up to over the last 20 years. They've been living through that for centuries. And so looking to indigenous scholars, indigenous scientists to think about how to handle adaptation, how to handle what they call collective continuance is another major thing that I think we should be putting more attention on.
And that points to something you touched on earlier, the effects of this change, of climate change and other impacts of the Anthropocene, not evenly distributed among human societies, among individuals within the same society. What kind of questions does that raise?
Yeah, so that raises a lot of questions about, you know, who were the industrialized nations first? What were the motivations for industrialization? Who's profiting from that industrialization? You know, these a lot of these things, you know, most Americans are very much caught up in this kind of society. You know, I drive a car, I consume all of the electricity and whatnot that everyone else does. But how is it that we kind of reconcile our individual consumption with the profit motivation of many of the corporations that provide those services for us? So there's this issue within a nation, a developed nation like the United States, but then there are also really big gaps in the levels of consumption, both within the United States, but then also between what's often gets lost as the global North and the global South, right? So thinking about inequalities and different patterns of consumption in different among different communities around the globe too.
Talking to Elizabeth Hennessy, Associate Professor of History and Environmental Studies at UW-Madison, talking about a new era in Earth's timeline, the Anthropocene. Back to your calls now. Daryl is with us in Menominee Falls. Daryl, hi.
Hi. I would like to say that it seems in this country we live with such an adolescent mentality toward something. We don't want to be responsible for the way we live. You know, people laugh off climate change. The scientists are trying to bring this up as a scam. I don't know what the scam is, what the scientists are gaining. They're trying to make us aware of what's actually going on in our environment. And that, it's like we don't want to be responsible for the way we live. I would hope, I'm trying to be positive, I hope that we've had enough signs now with climate change and what's going on around us, that we start growing up and taking on responsibility for the taking care of the planet we live in.
Daryl, thanks a lot for the call. Elizabeth, I want to key in on one phrase there. Daryl said, I try to be positive. As you talk to students about the Anthropocene and about climate change, things like that, people mostly presumably from a younger generation, what do you hear from them as far as the optimism versus doom scale of things?
You know, this class that I teach has the potential to be very doom centric, but I really try to talk to them about activism, about the kind of choices that they make. And one of the reasons that I really like teaching history is that we can see through all these individual people's actions that have created historical change that things aren't inevitable. And so I think that if students have more of an understanding of how things have happened in the past, how individuals have made different decisions, then they, I hope, are inspired to feel like they also will have the power to make different decisions in the future, and that this isn't necessarily a death sentence for us. But it's certainly, I'm lucky that I teach young people and that they are, I think, inherently more optimistic.
Daryl, thanks a lot for that call. Elizabeth, we've got this idea, this label of the Anthropocene. How much does this label matter? How much does it, if we agree to say, yes, we're in a new era, yes, it's human caused, what, if anything, is the impact of doing that?
This is the big question. And I think that, you know, it can be in some ways a kind of academic pursuit role. Maybe we'll have a new geological era. And when our kids go through school, they'll learn that we're not in the Holocene anymore, but we're in this new Anthropocene era. And I think that has the potential to have people think differently about their relationships with the natural world. You know, a generation ago, we didn't think that people could have an outsized impact on the planet, which is why a lot of these you know, these trends about mass production and mass consumption were happening, because we didn't think we were going, it would be possible to have the kind of impact that we have had. And so I think there is a general level of awareness that this will bring us. But beyond that, the political questions, I think, you know, as we were talking about before, there's still very much political questions that are not necessarily solved just because of this broader awareness.
Elizabeth, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob.
That's Elizabeth Hennessy, Associate Professor of History and Environmental Studies. She joined us for a look at the concept of the Anthropocene, a new era in Earth's timeline driven by changes caused by human activity. A working group in the geology scientific community recommended, we should call it the Anthropocene starting back in the 1950s.